Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Kedushin Daf Yud Tes. My Reinu left off yesterday right in the middle of a conversation. So we're two lines up from the bottom of the Amud on Yud Ches Amud Beis. I think we may back up a couple of lines, but we'll see how we do with the intro. Today is really a continuation of, first of all, today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Bas Simcha LaShalom, also by Avishai Newman in honor of all of the Daf Yomi Zoom listeners. So Shkoyach to Rav Avishai and Shkoyach to all of the Zoomers for joining each and every day, and thank you to the sponsors. So today we are going to continue the discussion that we started yesterday, which is primarily going to be a discussion of Yid. Yid is the type of marriage that a person who takes an Amma Ivriya is able to perform. So it's sort of like Kedushin, sort of like Nisuin. We're going to see in the Gemara exactly what it's like. But the point is that if a person takes an Amma Ivriya into his house, he's able to do what's called this Kedusha Yid. We're going to see exactly the mechanics of how the Kedusha Yid works. That's part of what we're going to discuss today. And he can either be miyayed the woman himself, or he could be miyayed the woman for his son. So in other words, he could either take this woman as a wife, or he could make the woman, or he could take the woman, rather, as a wife for his son. So why are we talking about Yud? So we're talking about Yud because we had discussed yesterday the ways in which an Eved Ivri goes free and the distinctions in the ways that an Amma Ivriya goes free. So for example, an Eved Ivri goes free after 6 years. He goes free with Yovel. He goes free with Mises Adon. The Amma Ivriya we've seen over the past couple of days goes free also with Simanim when she becomes an adult. She also goes free. And then we were talking about this concept of, and again, all these scenarios are a little bit foreign to us given our sensibilities today, but it's what the Gemara talks about, right? So so what we had been speaking about yesterday is the concept of a father being able to transfer rights to his daughter. So there are two types of ways that a father could transfer rights to his daughter. Either a father could sell his daughter as an Amma Ivriya, or a father also has the ability to marry off his daughter to somebody else, to a regular guy, in terms of a regular marriage. So we had seen yesterday, can a father do this thing twice, right? So the father has the ability once to give away the rights to his daughter, to transfer the rights to his daughter. Can the father do it twice? So in other words, is there such a thing as shifchus achar shifchus? After the father sells his daughter as a shifcha once, can he sell her as a shifcha again? Is there such a thing as shifchus achar ishus? Is there a thing as ishus achar ishus? Meaning, after he gives the daughter away as a shifcha, can he again give her away in marriage to somebody else? Can he give her away in marriage? Can he give her away in marriage twice? So that's what we're discussing yesterday. So in the context of that discussion, we're talking about Yid, and today we're going to cover a lot of topics about Yid. How mechanically it works, if a person could be miyayed, if a person could perform Yid on a shifcha for any of his sons, or does it have to be only a son who's a gadol? And then we're going to try to figure out how the various Mandi Amrim, who argue in terms of the mechanics of Yid, how they correspond, how those shitos correspond to cases of a regular Kedushin, where a person says that I want you to be Mekudeshes to me now, but only after 30 days. Or if a person says, I want you to be Mekudeshes to me after 30 days. And then what happens if somebody jumps the gun in the interim and somebody else gives the woman Kedushin within those 30 days? Do we assume that the Kedushin is Lamafreya, takes effect from now only when he says Me'achshav? Do we assume that the Kedushin takes effect from now even if he doesn't say Me'achshav? And how do those Shitos not correspond to the various shitas in terms of the mechanics of how Yud works? So again, we left off Yud Ches Amud Beis. It's two lines up from the bottom of the page. And what we have been discussing is as follows. If you go back, you don't have to go back, I'll just read it for you. So Yud Ches Amud Beis, towards the bottom, we had seen the shita of Rav Shimon, who says, Mocher Adam es Bito Leishos Vishone, Leshifchos Vishone, that a person is allowed to give away his daughter to in marriage multiple times. He's allowed to sell her as a shifcha multiple times. And he's allowed to give her away le'ishos achar shifchas. If he first sells her as a shifcha, he's then allowed to give her away as a wife. However, avalo le'shifchos achar ishos. However, once he gives her away as a wife to somebody, he's no longer able to sell her as a shifcha. He loses then the rights to sell her as a shifcha. That is the shita of the Tanakhama. And then Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kishem She'ein Oda Mocher Es Bito L'Shifchas Achar Ishus, just like a person cannot sell his daughter for Shifchas Achar Ishus, once he gave her away as a wife, he can no longer give her away as a shifcha. Kach Ein Oda Mocher Es Bito L'Shifchas Achar Shifchas, he can also not give her away as a shifcha twice. In other words, it's a one-shot deal. Once he exercises this right, he loses this right permanently. So that's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. So now, yesterday, toward the very end of the shir yesterday, the rabbi was discussing what happens that the Gemara had said, v'shaven, now we're about halfway up on Yud Ches Amud Beis, but don't be nervous, we're not going to read all this inside either. It said, v'shaven, shemochra almana l'koin gadol, Grushalach v'chalutza l'koin hedyot, and we agree that he's allowed to give away his daughter, who is an almana, to a kohen gadol, even though an almana is not allowed to marry a kohen gadol, and grusha v'chalutza, he's allowed to give away his daughter as a grusha v'chalutza l'koin hedyot. And the reason that we have been talking about that is because we said that you're not allowed to sell your daughter as a shifcha to krovim, to relatives, because the krovim don't have the ability to perform yid. Why? Because the krovim can't get married to their relatives. So I might think that just like I can't sell my daughter to krovim because there's no possibility of yid, so too the guy shouldn't be able to sell his daughter who's an almana to the kohen gadol. Let's say a very chash of a shifcha. So if the kohen gadol wants to take a shifcha, so he's not allowed to give away his daughter who's an almana to the kohen gadol because there's an isser of an almana to marry a kohen gadol. So that's the hypothetical that the Gemara is talking about. The guy wants to sell his daughter who is an almana. He wants to sell his daughter now as a shifcha to a kohen gadol. So the Gemara says, what in the world are you talking about? If the daughter is an almana, it means already that you gave her away in marriage. If you already gave her away in marriage, then you're not allowed to sell her as a shifcha. So what's going on here with our case? The case doesn't make any sense. So what we were talking about now is, well, it makes a difference whether he gave away his daughter in actual marriage or whether he had sold his daughter as a shifcha and then yud was performed on the daughter. And what we had then been saying was that there's a further distinction and there's a further machlokas whether yud effectuates a kedushin or whether yud effectuates a nisuin. And what the Gemara was trying to establish was that if yud effectuates a kedushin, then I could see that there's a distinction between a kedushin that the father accepts for the daughter and the kedushin that the daughter accepts in yud, and that even though after the father accepts kedushin on behalf of the daughter, he's no longer able to sell her as a shivcha. Maybe if the daughter accepts yud and yud is only kedushin, maybe then the father can sell her as a shivcha. And whereas if yud makes nisuin, then there's no difference between his nisuin and her nisuin, and therefore the father always loses rights if the daughter had nisuin. And what we left off yesterday was the Gemara said that, well, I don't understand that distinction. The same way you want to make a distinction between erusin of herself and kedusha and erusin of somebody else, or rather erusin of the father and erusin of somebody else, so too we should make a distinction between nisuin of the father and nisuin of somebody else. So now this is where we left off yesterday, two lines up from the bottom, Yud Ches Amud Beis. Hi, Mai. So says the Gemara, what are you talking about? Bishlam, Erisin, Erisin, Shani. I understand Erisin from Erisin can be different. Why? Because it could be that the Pasuk, when it says that you can't give away, you can't sell your daughter as a Shifcha after you've already accepted Erisin, that's only where it's the father who accepts Erisin, because the father has already given up his right. And once the father has already given up his right by accepting Erisin on behalf of his daughter to a guy, he no longer has the right to sell her to somebody else. Ela nisuin min nisuin mishani. But nisuin from nisuin, is it at all different? In other words, in the way Rashi explains it, because Nisuin is Midoraisa, therefore, once the daughter has Nisuin, regardless of whether it's a Nisuin that the father accepted for her, regardless of whether it's a Nisuin that she accepted for herself through the method of Yud, it is not going to make a difference, and therefore the father is always going to lose his right. How is this an explanation? So we have to look in Tosfos. We're not going to have time because the introduction took too long, unfortunately. But Tosfos over here, which is really on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis, says that the difference between Erisin and Nisuin is as follows. That by Erisin, that if the father gives away, if the father accepts Erisin for his minor daughter, for his daughter who's a Naira, so we see that the father already retains a certain level of connection to the daughter. How? Because the father is able to jointly be mefer nedarim with the new husband. The father is able to be metame to the daughter, and the father is also yorish the daughter. So we see the father maintains a connection. So if the halacha is that in Shifchas Achar Ishus, that the father loses a right that he otherwise has in his minor daughter to sell her as a Shifcha, then that applies, that's a Chiddush, because ordinarily speaking, the father maintains the connection to his daughter even after he accepts Erisin for his daughter. And since what we're trying to say now is that he loses that connection, he loses that jurisdiction, if you will, over his daughter, therefore, that is a chiddush, and ein l'chabo ela chidusho. So it's only the only time the father loses his rights to the daughter is where he accepts the erisin on behalf of his daughter, because it's a chiddush that he loses rights over the daughter because he maintains that connection to the daughter usually. So ein l'chabo ela chidusho, and therefore he only loses the rights where he accepts the erisin for his daughter, but he doesn't lose the rights where the daughter otherwise accepts erisin for herself through yid. However, By Nisuin, there is no Chiddush, because by Nisuin, he flat out loses all rights to his daughter. So once he loses all rights to his daughter, we don't have to limit the application of the Chiddush so rigorously. That's the way Tosfos explains the Shita of Rashi over here, why even though I might think to make a distinction Lagabe Erisin, whether the father accepts the Erisin for the daughter or whether the daughter is an Arusa through Yid, by Nisuin that distinction makes no sense. If Yid is going to make Nisuin, then the father definitely cannot sell his daughter as a Shifcha after he's already given her over as an Isha to somebody else. So says the Gemara, top of Yitzchak Aleph, the Rav Nachum, Rav Yitzchak, Tamar, Afilu, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. But according to Rav Nachum, Rav Yitzchak, who says that even according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Mos Harishonos Likidusha Ninu, that the Mos Harishonos are the Kesef Kedusha. And now over here, we were introduced to this topic yesterday. We're going to see this topic in much greater detail today. There is a Machlokas, how exactly Yid works. In other words, again, by Yid, which is a foreign concept to us, but the way it works is that a person buys the rights to a shifcha, and he's allowed to utilize that shifcha for 6 years, and then any time during the service of the shifcha, he's allowed to say, I want you to be my wife. Super romantic concept, whatever, but he's allowed to say, I want you to be my wife. So the question is, usually when you give a woman, when you're Mekadesh a woman, you have to give the woman Kesef Kiddushin. And so the question is, where's the Kesef Kiddushin here that enables this guy to do Yid? So you could say, well, the Kesef Kiddushin was, at first, he paid the father $100 for the use of his daughter for the 6 years. So the Kesef Kiddushin was the original money that the guy paid for the services of the Shifcha. That was the Kesef Kiddushin. In other words, he gave the Kesef Kiddushin to the girl's father. The other option over here is that the master doesn't actually have to give any Kesef Kiddushin. Why? Because the woman is obligated, the shifcha is obligated to work for him for 6 years. Let's say after half the term, after 3 years, he decides, you know what, you're such a good shifcha, I think you're going to make a great wife. Therefore, I want you to be mekudeshes to me with Yid. So what he then does is that he is mochel the girl's obligation to work for him for the remaining 3 years of the term. And that mechila is what effectuates the Yid. In other words, that has monetary value. because the woman ordinarily would have to work for him for another 3 years. He's saying, you know what, I'm ochel, therefore you don't have to work for me. So that could be the way that you would work. So either it's the original cash payment, or it's the mechila on the rest of the shivchas that effectuates the yid. So there's a machlokas, we're going to see that a little bit later on. But the point is, there is a man, the Amar, who says that the mos rishonos are what make the yid. Now, who's accepting the mos rishonos? It's the father, because the kid is a minor at the time the father's accepting the kedushin. Says the Gemara, that the mos rishonos are what effectuates the kedushin in the case of yid. So it's the father who's accepting the kedushin. So but my mukamla, so mukamla k'Rav Elazar. So in that case, how can you ever have a situation where the father is giving over his daughter, who is an almana, to a kohen gadol? Even if you want to say that she became an almana, not from a kedushin that he accepted for her, but from a kedushin yud, the kedusha yud, he's still accepting the kesef kedushin because it's the mos rishonos which are the kedushin inu. So who are we going to explain this like? Now we're going to explain it like the shita of Rabbi Elazar, the amar l'shifchas achar shifchas, hudula matzi mazben la, ava l'shifchas achar ishos matzi mazben la. So we're going to have to come to the shita of Rabbi Elazar. The whole price is not akasha, because the only thing that a father is not able to do is not allowed to sell his daughter as a shifcha twice. However, he is allowed to give his daughter away as a shifcha. He's allowed to sell her as a shifcha even after he's given her away as an isha. Says Tosfos, the reason that we had to go through these, all of these gymnastics over the past amud, trying to figure out whether yid makes a kedushin or whether it makes an erusin and the mos rishonos and whatever, is because we didn't want to establish the brisa like Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar shamutehu. Tosfos has another girsu who says that it's like Rabbi Akiva. So why were we struggling not to set up the brisa like Rabbi Akiva? So we say because we wanted to set up the brisa like in accordance with the shita of Reb Shimon. So whatever, but the way the Gemara reads is that it's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, and the reason that we didn't want to establish the brisa like Rabbi Eliezer is because he's shamute. He's from the Talmidim of Beis Shammai. Says the Gemara now, so boy, Rish Lakish, Mao Shamiyai Dadam Livno Katan. Can a person, if a person has a shifcha, can he give Kedusha Yid to the shifcha so that the shifcha should be married to his son who himself is a minor? So there is a machlokas whether the father does the Maisa Yid or whether it's the son who does the Maisa Yid, but the point is, can he give the shifcha to his minor son in Yid? So Beno Amarachmana Beno Kaldu, so the Pasuk says that he's either allowed himself to take the Shifcha in Yid, or he's allowed to give the Shifcha to his son in Yid. So Beno Kaldu means any son, meaning even a Beno Katan. Odilma Beno Demididei, no, maybe, or the son who he's allowed to give the Shifcha to Yid in has to be like him. Mahu Gadol Af Beno Gadol, just like the master himself is a Gadol, so too he's only allowed to give the Shifcha to his son, who is a gadol. So Rav Zeira, so says Rav Zeira, Tashma, Ish Prat L'Katan. Now we're going to Darshim Sukkim that talk about the niyuf of an Eshes Ish. If a person has an adulterous relationship with a woman who is already married to somebody else. So the Gemara Darshins, the Psukim, Ish, it says Ish Prat L'Katan. It's got to be a gadol, not a katan. Asher Yinaf Eshes Ish, who has a relationship, an adulterous relationship with an Eshes Ish, somebody who's married to another guy. Prat leishas katan comes to exclude a woman who's married to a katan. The amrit miyayed, and if you wanted to say that that a katan can have yid, zemkein matzinu ishas lekatan. So in that case, how do we darshan these psukim? Because we're darshaning these psukim that eishas ish, the isra of eishas ish, is only applicable by a gadol. But if you want to tell me that a katan can perform yid, we have an eishas ish even by a katan. Says the Gemara, that's totally backwards, because if there was no possibility for eishas ish for a katan, I wouldn't have to darshan the psukim like this, because it's obvious that it only applies to a gadol. Says the Gemara, velamai, eina miyayet, amai kamamayet lekra. But if there is no yid for a katan, why would we have to darshan ish is only a gadol, asher yinaf as eishas ish is only a gadol? There is no possibility of marriage by a katan. Elamai, there is a possibility of marriage by a katan, but the chiddush of the psukim is that the only time you're going to be chayiv chenek for the isser of eishas ish is if you sleep with a woman who's married to a gadol. Says the Gemara, Satifsha mine de miyayed. So we see over here that he can be miyayed, that there is yod by ben katan, but nevertheless, the pasuk excludes this guy from the punishment of chenek, from the onesh of chenek. So says the Gemara now as follows. Amar Ravashi, Sahacha biyavam ben teisha shanim. We're not talking about a simple case. We're talking about a situation where there's a yavam, meaning the yavam's brother was married to a woman. The husband died without any children, and now the wife of the dead husband falls to the husband's brother to do yibum. The husband's brother is 9 years old. So we're talking about a yavam ben teisha shanim v'yom echad. Haba al yavim tawaskinan, who performs yibum through bia. Now midaraisa chazilei, she is fit for him on a daraisa level. What exactly does that mean? So Rashi explains that there's a zika connection. So you'll remember from Maseches Yevamos that when a woman's husband dies and the woman is childless, she falls to the husband's brother to do yibum, and there's a bond. That bond can either be actualized by the performance of yibum, or it could be severed by the performance of chalitza. But there is this concept of zika. So because there's this bond that already exists between these two people, since yesh zika, ubi yaso bia, and his maisa bia is a maisa bia. In other words, ordinarily speaking, when you perform, let's say you perform kedushin, right? There are three ways that you can perform kedushin. There's kesef, there's shtar, and there's bia. So bia, it happens to be, is one, not the yeshivish way of performing kedushin, but it is possible. But if you're going to do it, you have to have das, right? Because kedushin and gerushin, as we've seen, require the highest level of das possible. And a katan is not able to have das. Even if you want to say that a katan's actions have any validity, the katan is not able to have the degree of das that's necessary in order to effectuate kedushin. But the thing is, by yibum, maybe the katan doesn't need das. Why? Because the Torah already set up the zika, the connection between the two. So all we need is a physical act to consummate the connection that the Torah already set up between the two. So therefore, I might think that since there's zika, and since his action is an action, that if a person then sleeps with this woman, he is going to be chayiv chenek like anybody who's baal eishes ish, kamash v'lan. He's not because of the miyot in the pasuk. Tosos over here doesn't like Rashi's pshat because Rashi's pshat makes it appear as if the bia of ben teisha is a bia on a daraisa level. Tosfa says, no, it's not a bia on a daraisa level because the Gemara Maseches Yevamos says specifically that also bia ben tes kemaymar begadol, and maymar is the derabbanadika way of giving kedushin to a yavama, and therefore Tosfa says that it works only in a derabbanon level. Okay, but says the Gemara, my avi Allah, what's it, you're telling me, how can, it's a very interesting case about yavam ben tes and the zika and ain zika, it's great chazora for Maseches Yevamos, but what's the answer to the question? The question was, can you give the shivcha in yid to your son who is a minor? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you, yes. So tashma, the amar of Evo, amar of Yanai, ein yid el abagadol, ein yid el amidas. That there's only yid by a gadol, there's only yid by a bar das. Tarti, you need both of these. Now over here again, there's a machlokas Rashi Tosfos. So Rashi says, Tarti, this is redundant. In other words, ein yid el abagadol, the reason that yid only works by a gadol is because you need das. And therefore, only a das has a gadol. Only a gadol, rather, has das. And therefore, of course, the yid is only going to work by a gadol. Tosfos doesn't like Rashi Pshat. Tosfos says the Gemara's kasha is that they're contradictory. Because ein yid el abagadol implies that any gadol can give yid, even if the gadol is not a bar das. Ein yid el abar das means that you actually need das and to be a gadol. So Tosfos says that the Gemara's question is that they're contradictory. So says the Gemara, no, it's not contradictory. So matam kamar. This is now Mestaber, more like Rashi. So the Gemara is explaining the reasoning. Matam ein yid el abagadol, afisha ein yid el abadas. Why do we say that yid is only applicable by a gadol? It's because you need das by yid. Vibas ema, but others say that my midas, midas tida. No, maybe midas has nothing to do with the guy who's performing the yid. It doesn't imply that the guy has to be a gadol. It means that she requires das. Tatani abaye berei deravavo asher lo yoada, because the pasuk says asher lo yoada melamed shetzarech liyada, that you have to inform her that the yud is being performed. There is a machlokas rishonim whether you simply have to inform her that the yud is being performed, or if she also has to consent to the performance of the yud. It's a machlokas, but there is some sort of das that is required even on her part. Says the Gemara, "Hu toni lav, hu amar lav kedusha yud," that we're talking about kedusha yud. Valiba the Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, that we're talking about that, and we're talking in the shita of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Mos Rishonos lav lekedusha ninu, who say that the Mos Rishonos are not for kedushin. Okay, so what if the Mos Rishonos are not for kedushin? So Rashi explains as follows. If the Mos Rishonos were the Shem Kedushin, so when the master bought the Shivcha, he paid the father, and the father had the Das then to give away his daughter for Yid, because the Mos Rishonos are what effectuated the Yid. But if the Mos Rishonos did not effectuate the Yid, what effectuates the Yid is that the master says to the Shivcha, you know what, you're not going to be obligated to serve out the balance of your term. The father is now out of the picture. She is the one who has to accept the Kedushin. That's why it requires her Das. Rav Nachman Reis Lokamar says, no, afilu tema l'kedushin inu. Even if you want to say that the Mos Rishonos were l'shem Kedushin, and that really the father accepted the Kesef Kedushin, still we would require her Das here, Shani Hacha, Demarachmana, Ya'ada, because the Pasuk said, Ya'adan, from Ya'ada, Idarshan, that we require her Das. My Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. So what's the Shita of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda? We mentioned the Shita of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, who says that the Mos Rishonos were lav l'kedushin inu. The Tanya, because we learn in the Braisa as follows. Ya'ada vehefda. These two words are mentioned in the Parsha of Yid. Tzorech sheyeh shos biyom kedei pedia. That the Yid can only be performed if there is enough term left in the Shifchus that she could be podeh herself if she came up with the Geron Kesef, right? If she were willing to remunerate the master, if she were willing to compensate the master for the amount of money that is shayich to the balance of the term, then she would go free. That's the only time that yud could be performed if there's any length left to the term. So mikanam Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda em yeshos biyam kadei lasus imo shavapruta mekudeshes v'imla v'ina mekudeshes, that the only time yud could be performed is if there's enough time left in the term for her to actually perform a level of avdus, a level of shivchus, which is worth a shavapruta. Al muks of our Mos Rishonos lav l'kedushin itnu. Ah, it's because the Mos Rishonos are not what make the kedushin. What make the kedushin is the mechila of her obligation to perform service. But that is only worth a shavapruta, and of course, kedushin has to, kesef kedushin has to be worth a shavapruta. That is only worth a shavapruta if there's enough time left in her tenure of shivchus where the work that she would otherwise be required to perform is worth a shavapruta. So says the Gemara, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Afilu Tema L'Kedushin Inu Shani Yachad Demar Rachmana V'Hafta. Says the Gemara, no, you weren't listening to what I just said about Ya'ada, that maybe the Mos Rishonos were l'shem kedushin. In that case, if Mos Rishonos were l'shem kedushin, why does there have to be enough time left in the term for her to perform a little bit of work? It's because there's a Gzeiras HaKasev. The Gzeiras HaKasev said V'Hafta, that teaches me that there has to be a little bit amount of time left in the term, enough time for her to perform work. And it's not a raya necessarily that Mos Rishonos were lav l'kedushin itnu. Okay, says the Gemara now at the two dots, six lines up from the bottom of the Amud. So Amarav Nachman, Omer Adam Levito Katana, a person could say to his daughter who is a minor, Si'i v'kibli kedusheich, go and accept your kedushin, even though, generally speaking, a Maisa Katana is meaningless. A father is allowed to deputize his daughter to accept kesef kedushin for herself. Mid Rabbi Yosi Rav Yehuda, and this is accordance with the shita of Rabbi Yosi Rav Yehuda. So lav amar Rabbi Yosi Rav Yehuda, Mos Rishonos lav l'kedushin inu. So don't, Rabbi Yosi Rav Yehuda is the one who says that when a person sells his daughter as a shivcha, the Mos Rishonos that the master is paying for the shivcha were not given l'shem kedushin. V'chi meshayir ba shavapruta havi kedushin. And therefore, the way that Yud works is by the master being mochel, the daughter's obligation to perform the rest of her term of service, meaning who's accepting that hana? It's the girl herself who's accepting the hana. And again, we're talking about a naira, because otherwise, if she were an adult, she would have gone free with simanim. Says the Gemara, hachanami lo shna. So why is that any different than a case where a father says to his daughter, go accept kesef kedushin? Over there, it's the daughter accepting kesef kedushin. So too over here by Yud, it's the daughter accepting the benefit of the kesef kedushin, because it's the daughter who benefits from the mechila of having to perform work for the master. And Rav Amram Nachman says, again, trying to make a comparison to Yud, HaMekadesh B'milveh Sheyesh Alav Mashkon Mekudeshes. If a person gives over as Kedushin a milveh with a mashkon, the woman is going to be Mekudeshes. And Tosfos over here is bothered that obviously what we're talking about is that we're talking about where the woman owed the man money. And the man says, I'll tell you what, instead of repaying me $100, I'm mochel, but I want you to be mekudeshes to me. So it's with the hana of the cancellation of the loan that the woman is going to be mekudeshes to the man. But says Tosfos, if we're talking about hana's milva, what in the world does mashkon have to do? The mashkon is irrelevant. The fact that there's collateral is irrelevant. Tosfos says, no, the fact that there's collateral is instructive, because I might think that she is not, from her perspective, she's not really receiving any hana, because true, the debt is canceled, but she's not getting the collateral back. And since she's not getting the collateral back, I might think that she's not the samechdas, and therefore that there's no kedushin. Kamash malon there is. So there's Tosfos over here on the bottom, goes through in a little bit of an arichas. But how do we know that Mekadesh B'milveh Sheyesh Alav Mashkon is Mekadesh? So again, it's from the Shita of Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. So Lavam Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda Moser Rishonos Lav L'Kedushin Ditnu. Doesn't Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda, he's the one who says that the Moser Rishonos that the master paid for the Shifcha is not L'Shem Kedushin. So how then does the Yehud works? The Yehud works because he is Mochel, her obligation to perform the last little bit of service for him, sahai halvahi, that is like a halva. In other words, because the woman owes, just like in the case of the halva, the love owes the malve money, here too the shifcha owes the master the obligation to perform the services. He is then mochel on her obligation to perform the services. That's like being mochel on the halva. And he gufa mashkoni. And what's the collateral? The collateral is the fact that he owns her as a shivcha. Says the Gemara, turning to Yotessa Medbez, v'chi mishayir b'sheva pruta miyayid havi kedusha nachinami loshna. And when he leaves out, when there is a sheva pruta's worth left of work to perform, but he is mochel on that work, and he instead does yud with that value, it works. So to over here, that's how we know that Mekadesh B'milvesh Yesh Lav Mashkon is going to be Mekudeshes. Good. So says the Gemara Navaiter, two lines down on Yud Tes Amud Beis. So Tan Rabbanan, Ketzad Mos Yud. Ketzad Mitzvah Yud, rather. What is the Mitzvah of Yud? How does it work? So Amar Lav Avnei Shnayim, he says to her in front of two people, Areat Mekudeshes Li, Areat Meureset Li, Afilu B'Sof Sheish, even at the end of the 6 years, Afilu Samach L'Shkiyas Achama, even if it's right up and the evening of the last day of service, V'Noigba Minagishas, and then he has to treat her like a wife, Ein Noigba Minag Shifchas, and he cannot treat her as a shifcha again. The Pnei Yeshua asks, well, doesn't this seem to imply, like the sheet of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says, that Moser Rishonos Olav L'Shem Kedushin, you know, because if they were L'Shem Kedushin, why do I need a further act? So the Pnei Yeshua answers, because Ein Davar Shev Erva Pachas Mishnayim, there were no Edei Kedushin at first, because even when the original transaction was performed, it was literally a commercial transaction. Now he needs something, he needs Edim to say, see, I'm treating you as my wife. And that's why he has to do this whole procedure. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, who said that the most Rishonos were not L'shem Kedushin, this is a Shita which we're not familiar with. He says that this only works if there's enough time during the day where she would otherwise have the ability to perform an amount of work that's equal to a Shava Pruta, because then when the master is Mochel on her obligation to do that, he has given her something of value, and with that, she is Mekudeshes to him through Yid. Says the Gemara, Mashal li Omer li Isha, it's like a mashal where a guy says to a woman, Hiskachi li me'achshav la'achar shloshem yom, be mekudeshes to me now for after 30 days, uba achar v'kitsha b'tok shloshem yom, now guy B comes and gives her kesef kedushin within those 30 days, shemekudeshes l'rishon, that she is mekudeshes to the first guy. Because he said, Me'achshav l'achar shloshem yom, therefore she's mekudeshes to the first guy. Says Gemara, what in the world does this mean? Mashal Laman, we had given a machlokas, we had brought down a machlokas by Yid, whether it's Moshe Rishonis that work, or whether you need the mechila of the Yavoda at the end that works. And then we said, oh, it's just like a situation where the guy says to a woman, be mekudeshes to be me'achshav l'achar shloshem yom, huh? Says the Gemara, Ilema Mashal Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, if it's a Mashal to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, Ha Em Yeshos Beyom Kedei Lasus Emo Shever Putin Megadeshes Vim Lav Lo, that Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda is the one who says that if there's enough, that if there's enough time to perform, that if there's enough time to perform work, then she is Mekudeshes through Yid. But if not, then she is not Mekudeshes through Yid. Meaning, when does the Kedushin take place? The Kedushin takes place now, because the only time it actually works is if she is required to perform services for him. It does not take place from before. It does not take place from when the Kesef Kedushin was given. That's not the Shita of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Samar Ravacha, Brei de Rava, Mashal Rabbanan. No, it's a Mashal Rabbanan, meaning, just like the Rabbanan hold that the Moser Rishonis were the Kesef Kedushin, in other words, the Kedushin took effect from back then, so to over here, where the guy says, I want you to be Megadeshah to me, me Akshah v'l'achar shloshem yom, the Kedushin is going to take effect from the first moment. Says Gemara, but then Pshita, but then it's obvious. Both of them hold that the Kedushin take effect from the first moment. So no, but I might think over here, he didn't say me'achshav, and therefore it's not like an exact comparison. Kamash Malan, that it is an exact comparison, because it's like the Torah itself saying me'achshav by Yid, because the Torah itself said the way Yid works is that the Moshe Rishonos were l'shem Kedushin in you. Now we have another brisa, Tanya Idach, Hamocher es Bito, if a person sells his daughter as a Shifcha, V'alach v'kitcha l'acher, and then he gives her away in Kedushin to somebody else, Sasichek bi'adon, it's as if he's playing with the master, because the Adon who he sold his daughter to is now no longer able to do Yiyud, because he also accepted Kedushin for his daughter from another guy, U'mekudeshes l'sheni. And he is Mekudeshes, she is Mekudeshes to the second guy. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says. V'chachamim omrim, and the chachamim say, imratzal yayed miyayed. And the chachamim say, no, if the guy wants to do yid, he can do yid. Why? Because the chachamim said that most Rishonis were lekesef kedushin inu. In other words, from the second that he sold her as a shivcha, the master already had the ability to do yid, and therefore he can't give her away in kedushin to somebody else. Says the Gemara, Mashal Omer Leisha Rea Mekudeshes Li V'Achar Shloshem Yom. That's like a situation where a guy says to a woman, I want you to be Mekudeshes to me after 30 days, Uba Achar V'Gidsha B'Tok Shloshem Yom, and another person comes within the 30 days and gives her Kesef Kedushin, Shemekudeshes L'Sheni, that she's Mekudeshes to the second guy, because she had told the first guy, I only want the Kedushin to be Chal after 30 days. Says the Gemara, Mashal Aman, but who's this Mashal like? Ilei Mele Rabbanan, Hamri Rabbanan Imratzal Yayed Miyayed. That doesn't work because the Rabbanan are the ones who said that she's Mekudeshes to the first guy, not the second guy, because the Rabbanan say that most Rishonos were Lekesef Kedushin Ninu, and therefore his Maise Kedushin or his Adnos came first, and therefore he's able to perform Yud. Elam Ravacha, Berei de Rava, says Ravacha, Berei de Rava, Mashal Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda. No, it's a Mashal Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda, because both Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda and this fellow with his stipulation regarding the Kedushin of his daughter, they both do not intend for the Kedushin to take effect immediately. They intend for the Kedushin to take effect La'achar Zman. Says the Gemara again, Pshita, yeah, I mean, those are the Shitas, they match up. Says the Gemara, "Mal d'tema har lo amar leila achar shloshim yom kamash malan not." In other words, that I might think by yid, he never said explicitly that he wants the kedushin to take effect only laachar shloshim yom. Therefore, I might think that the kedushin take effect earlier. Kamash malan, according to the sheets of Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, the way the Torah built in the mechanism of yid, it's that it doesn't take effect until later. Just like we saw, according to the Chachamim, the way the Torah built in the mechanism of yid, it takes effect immediately. So too, according to Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, the mechanism of yid doesn't take effect until later. All right, here's a good stopping point. So we'll pick up Tanya Idach tomorrow. If everybody has a great day and a wonderful Shabbos.